I'm doing, well, let me ask you this, real quick question. What do you think are the two most popular, most spoken prayers in Christianity? What do you think? Anybody know? The two things we pray for probably the most? I wish it was for people to get saved. You know what? Like, we want to go higher, right? That you know what? That's going to be the prayer of YCF, right? Okay, so think about it. Probably the quick prayer over your food, right? Number one prayer we pray. And my husband always waits to have a bite of food in my mouth in front of people. He's like, hey, Sherry, you want to pray over the food? He's like, yes, I do. Anyone else caught like that? Vulnerable moment? Yeah. And the number two one, do you ever hear this term called traveling mercies? You know, right? We laugh. I don't even know what traveling mercies is. I had to Google it. Like, what does that mean? And it normally is like your mom at the door, like yelling at you to watch for deer, which in these parts is the deepest form of love. Watch for deer. That means I love you. And like, pray for traveling mercies, pray for protection. You know, so probably the second most common prayer, and it's a really good prayer to pray, is the prayer of protection. And that's what we're talking about today, is the prayer of protection. But don't worry, we as a church are going higher in our prayer life. We are going into the greater works of Jesus in our prayer life. But so how do I say this? As I was examining the two most common prayers, I thought these are probably the most mindless, heartless, passionless, and faithless prayers we pray all the time. Because they're just a habit. You know, you kind of just, it's almost like a ritual, you know? And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:2, it says, but the word which they heard did not profit them because it was not mixed with faith. So we want to talk about the prayer of protection, but not, and I'll be honest, to create hunger, like I want to pray about revival. I want to teach about like historic events in the world that is shifted by the power of prayer, but sometimes we just got to start with the foundation and grow from there. So we're going to go deeper and higher in this concept of praying for protection, not just for us, but for other people. But we want more prayers to be more effective and more powerful. Therefore, they have to be more infused with faith. So how do we do this? So James 5:16, we know it. It says, the earnest, heartfelt, persistent prayers of a righteous believer. So we are right with God by what? Faith. Simply, I'm right. Did you feel really right now? Maybe not. Maybe it doesn't matter what you feel because I have faith in Jesus, right? So there, my feelings do not define my position with God. My faith in Jesus defines my position with God. Therefore, if Jesus is my Savior and my faith is in him, I am right with God. No matter I feel it or not. That gives me something to praise about and pray about, right? All right, so then it says this, makes tremendous, powerful, all right, so the earnest, heartfelt prayers of a person that their faith is in Jesus makes tremendous power available. This is the Amplified. Dynamic and it's working. New Living Translation says, has great power and produces wonderful results. Raise your hand if you want your prayers to produce wonderful, powerful results. I want my prayers to be effective. So that means sometimes, come on, let's be real. Do we have the script right before we roll over in bed at night? Like we just kind of have our little laundry checklist. It's okay. Like, it's okay. Like Brad and I kind of have those things we pray about all the time, but you have to, what, adjust your heart and go, I'm going to put my heart in this. I'm going to put my faith in this. And as I pray, I'm going to picture God moving in these scenarios, right? All right. So God moves through the sincere, heartfelt prayers of faith. So this word, dynamic, this word dynamic actually is also what they use for the word dynamite. We know what dynamite is, right? So it's from the Greek word dunamis. And why do they use this word dunamis for dynamite? Because dynamite is explosively powerful. So let's go back to this word dynamic or dunamis. God says that our prayers from the heart in faith, based on our right relationship with him, and these are like passionate prayers, not emotional. You don't have to cry and scream and do jumping jacks like, you know, the prophets of Baal. You don't have to put on a show, but it's of your heart. Makes powerful, effective prayers. And I don't want to waste my time in prayer. Truly. When your heart isn't in it, when your faith isn't in it, it's just religious ritual. And you know, sometimes we have these rhyming prayers. And listen, if you teach your kids to pray over the food and rhyme, I'm not coming against rhyming. Just get them to put their heart in it, right? Like really think about these things. All right, so Romans 10, verse 17, Amplified, says, consequently, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of God. So I want to grow my faith like a muscle. I want to grow my faith. I want to grow my fervency, my passion, my persistence in prayer. And that's a choice. Because do you wake up every day just feeling like doing jumping jacks and going to the gym? No, right? We're tired. It's you make a choice to do things until that habit is built. So I want to talk about this. If you want greater faith, if you want the most powerful, effective prayers, it is birthed through intimacy of just hanging out with God. I've gotten to a point, and raise your hand if you're at this point, where I need Jesus. Come on. I need Jesus. Every day, I think, now we can get into places in our life where we're pretty good at like keeping things rolling, but I think there's this thing called humility and maturity that just comes going, I just need Jesus. I'm kind of a mess without him, or I will eventually mess things up. I need Jesus. So the fact that we need him draws us to go pursue his heart and just hang out. I am vitally united to Jesus. I abide in the vine. That means I need him. Apart from him, it's normally just going to blow up eventually. You ever tried to do something good and you're like, God, I got this. It's like riding a bike, right? And then we just wreck it. I need to be vitally united to him. And that takes some time because I have this thing called a brain that never stops running. Like it's just always going. So it takes me a while to get my brain to shut up. So I just have to open up the word and start reading and speaking these scriptures over my life and going, God, how do you want me to apply that to my life? I start to wait on him. And then that two-way conversation starts happening where those scriptures start speaking to you and through you. And ready for this? Maturity is when we start praying for others. And that takes some time because normally we have our laundry list, right? So we're going higher and greater, and that's going to take some time of just hanging out with God so we catch his heart for other people around us. And what I want to get to, and in Jesus' name, I'm believing I'm going to get there. I have a really deep teaching at the end on how to hear him really clear for other people around you, not even just people, you know, total strangers. And God will do a divine intervention of protection. How many people want to go higher and greater in the works of Jesus? And it all starts with us just hanging out with him. I found all my stupidest, like most, my worst, anybody know their most worst self? Normally Brad gives me a look, it like involves this look on his eye and like a little bit of an eyebrow thing. I'm like, oh no, I'm being my worst self right now. You need people in your life that will call you out like in the moment to save you for like lots of apologizing in life. But I tend to be my worst self and do the stupidest things and make the greatest mistakes and wrecks when I am overly busy, overly scheduled, rushing. Anybody? Like if I had to look at all of my accidents on my record, they were all when I am rushing and stressed and doing too many things that God had not called me to do. Right? Under pressure. And the pressure brings stress and what? This edginess, you know, where we start kind of getting sharp with words or hand gestures out the window, you know, kind of said something to our coworker, which we're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. So sorry. All right. The safest place in the world to be relationally and physically is in the presence of God. And I'm in the presence of God when I'm talking to him. You know what I've noticed? I don't get in wrecks in life, whether it's in a relationship, like saying stupid things, or a physical dumb accident, you know, or like, you know, trip and fall down the stairs when I am talking to God. Truly, truly, when I'm like taking time, just, you know, I started doing for my driving, I just started turning my like drive time into my prayer time. You know, it was very interesting. I, you know, stopped doing stupid stuff. Because I was just like, this is my commune time with God. You know, how many people, you don't have a lot of time. But that drive time, you know what, I can just turn on some worship music or turn on some scripture and just start talking to God. And I remember I was in a place, I had just gone to the gym and my gym time was my prayer time because I didn't have a lot of time. So I would put on scripture or worship music and I'd just talk. People don't know, they think I'm like, you know, just rapping to the song or something. And yeah, because I can't rap to save my life, but they don't know what I'm doing. I started then sharing my faith with people. I even broke up a fight in the ladies' room over at Planet Fitness. It was really wild. You start being Jesus when wherever I'm at, I'm talking to him, right? So I remember this one day in specifics. I just got done working out, and I just like felt really good physically, mentally, emotionally, because I was being with God while I was doing some other things. And I got in my car, and I turned my key on, and I heard crunch. And it wasn't a good crunch. It was like the bad crunch. But I didn't hear it on my outer ear. And by the way, I'm a C person. God talks to me in little flashes. So if I'm hearing something, I'm tuned in because that's not normally my natural way of hearing. It was within this crunch. And I was like, oh, that's not a good crunch. Okay, God. All right. Well, Lord, you know what? You've given me wisdom. I'm just going to pray for protection right now. I don't know what that means, but Lord, I thank you, your angels surround me, protect me. I'm checking my mirrors, because how many people know most accidents happen in parking lots because people like zipping on through, took my time, pulled out, and then just missed a near accident. It was because I was communing with God. I was vitally united with God, and what he kind of caught my ear and spared me. There's protection in that. So, all right, I'm talking about intercessory prayer. There's like so much I want to say. All right, Lord, we thank you. So intercessory prayer is this. Webster's defines intercede. It means to go or pass between, to act between two parties with a view to reconcile, to what bring them together, means to mediate. It also means pleading with another person or representing one party on behalf of another in a legal situation. So a lawyer. So anybody ever been in a situation where you needed a lawyer? Anybody been in a situation they needed Jesus? Okay. Okay, a lawyer is often called an advocate. Okay. So a lawyer intercedes on behalf of someone else in court, right? To defend them, to protect them, right? To set them free. So Jesus is our advocate. It actually says that in the word, which is like he's like our lawyer. He represents us. So 1 John 2 verse 1 amplified says, if anyone does sin and violate God's word, we have an advocate who will intercede for us with the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous. So that means Jesus stands before God the Father, the judge, in the courts of heaven to plead our case. And Jesus has a victorious role. Why? Because he already paid the price. He already died for all of our sins, all of our shortcomings, all of our wrecks, all of our accidents, everything we've ever blown up, everything we've ever done wrong, all of our shame, and he paid it with his blood. So we're already paid in full, and he represents us to bring a favorable verdict, because it's not by our own works, it's by only what? Our faith in Jesus. How many people know if you have the best lawyer around, it's really wild what you can just get set free from, whether you deserve it or not. I want Jesus to represent me. And here's the thing, he's also called us to represent him in prayer for other people. So Revelations 12:11 says this, they overcame him, Satan, by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So you got to get a revelation. You want to go powerful in your prayer. You need to get a revelation of the finished work of the cross, what Jesus already died for, what he paid for. We're paid in full for shame is taken to the cross. Every sickness, every disease, every illness, every imbalance was what? Nailed to the cross. It's a completed work. And your story aligning with what Jesus did on the cross, man, can really cause what? A meeting in the natural, right? When you start talking to somebody, hey, God, this did this for me. He's going to do it for you. Let me introduce you to Jesus. But how many people know not everybody's ready to hear your story? Or maybe you tried and you just got to go to prayer. You ever had those people where they give you the hand? My mom, give them the hand. You've said your piece. Now just walk away. Like, leave me alone. We go to prayer. All right. So the Hebrew word for intercession is paga. I might be saying it wrong, but, you know, we have it on the screen up there. Paga means to meet. So intercession is something that someone does through prayer to cause a meeting with God. So we're standing in the gap for someone else. We're praying on someone else's behalf. Maybe they're really not ready to talk to God, or maybe they're just really busy and distracted, or maybe they just need another person on their team praying, right? So the foundation of intercession is the fact that Jesus is our intercessor, right? He stood on the gap. He stood in the gap for all of our sins and stood in the gap and fulfilled the wrath of God, paid the price in full, and brought us back together, reconciled, brought us into right relationship with God. So Jesus is the intercessor, and we are representing him. We are representing Jesus in prayer. All right, I'll go into this further probably in the weeks to come, but I just have to like build a foundation to dive into what I want to. Okay. All right, so this now I want to talk about this meeting, intercession. Another translation of the word paga, which means intercession, means boundary. It's very interesting. So in this context of prayer, it is putting up a protective boundary in prayer. Putting up a protective boundary in prayer. You ever seen a sign that says, no dumping, violators will be prosecuted, right? So how many people know Satan sometimes is just coming after you? And when we pray and put up a protective boundary, we are saying, Satan, no dumping, no trespassing, you will be persecuted, right? You will be prosecuted, excuse me. All right, so where do I want to go here? I have so many stories, so I'm not going to rush. We do a series. I'd say a lot of our failures and difficulties and life wrecks are just because we've gotten lazy in our prayer life. Or just so busy. This is the thing I've had to repent to the Lord about. I'm like, there's just, come on, ladies, how many hats do you have to wear in life? And we're just doing this and this, and we're helping this person out, and da da da. Or some people that just can't say no to everybody, you know? And so we're so busy, and we're so piled on. And then I kind of hear the still small voice, but I'm so busy that I'll get to it later, right? And I miss an opportunity for God to use me, or God to use me to help someone, or just God trying to warn me about something, and whoops, I just kept talking, made a wreck of that one, shoot. Or we physically get into something that we get hurt or whatever. And by the way, this is not an everything. I don't preach formulas. Formulas hurt people, right? I preach a relationship. I am teaching you to keep your ear tuned in with God. Because by the way, we live in a broken world where there's, you know, cause and effect. There are laws of cause and effect, right? This thing called gravity happens, and like, I took physics and I don't remember any of it. Brad remembers everything in life. I forget it. But you know, like, hey, if you decide to like get in your car and drive 100,000 miles, you know, over the speed limit, and you know, you're drinking your Coke and, you know, blasting your music and you're on your cell phone and you get a wreck, whose fault is that? Satan was coming after me. No, that's called stupidity, right? It's called what? Being arrogant, being proud, or just, ready for this, just being so busy, right? I always say this, stress makes me stupid. Do you know what stress is? Holding on to things not given by God. So holding on to stress is actually sin against you. A pattern I also noticed, and just be real, I have to put a little disclaimer in here, is sometimes we wreck our lives because we are in unholy alliances. I could preach this for 45 minutes. But we are linked up with something or someone that pulls us into sin and gets us in a place of compromise. And God's just saying, hey, cut the tie. Hey, smash the idol. Hey, cut it off, because that thing and that whatever is pulling you into a wreck, right? And hey, if you know someone like that, that's time to pray, right? It's time to pray. Okay. All right, so today we are throwing off excuses. We are throwing off apathy, complacency, because life and death come time. It's time to pray. When we start blowing off that prompt to pray, and I'm going to share some stories, it can mean life and death for some people, or major life-altering events. And God wants to use you, not ready just for yourself, but for other people in your life and people you don't even know yet. All right, so where do we want to go here? All right, we're talking about the prayer of protection. All right, the Bible often uses analogy with our relationship with God as like a marriage, right? Because it's just kind of something that it feels more familiar, right? And a marriage is supposed to be like a loving, intimate thing. So intimacy in a marriage is built through heartfelt consistency. I'm going to marriage group, right? And we talk all the time. We don't throw our spouses under the bus, but it's not about just doing one nice thing and bringing flowers once a year, you know, on Valentine's Day, right? It's the consistency of laying your life down for that other person, telling them that you love them, and unloading the dishwasher and loading it back up. We love that consistency, right? All right, not just when they want something. We won't finish that trail, okay? So a lot of times we are only praying because we're in a desperate situation that we want something from God. Or sometimes we just, you know, want his blessings, and these are our like little ritual prayers. All right, so let's talk about Psalms 91. So we're going to talk about like how our prayers get more effective. Psalms 91, 1 through 16, New King James and New Living Translation. I just smushed it together here. It says, he who dwells, everybody say dwells. Dwells, that means lives. Like your dwelling place is your home. That's where you live. In the secret place of the Most High will abide or find rest. When I'm stressed, when I'm busy, when I'm doing too much, I'm not resting. I'm rushing. It says, you will find rest under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my place of safety. My God, in him I will trust. Trust in God is faith. So consistency is the key to the prayer of protection. It's not just going to him because I'm like panicking, like, and I haven't talked in a long time, and I think I'm about to get in an accident. Well, you know, call it in the name of Jesus. I get that. That's good, right? But isn't it great that when we start dwelling with God, a lot of things can be evaded? Or how many people have just experienced supernatural protections? Or just total like forgiveness where you didn't even deserve it. You're like, wow, how did I even get out of that one? Prayer. And it's not just, it is dwelling with him. Because that's where the two-way conversation happens. It's not just checking the box and our laundry list of prayers. And God, the traveling mercies and da-da-da-da-da, you know, just our laundry list. Help so-and-so. And you just kind of go through the list. We're talking about dwelling in the secret place. We're talking about hanging out. You know, I messaged my best friend because Brad has a worship retreat, and I couldn't go, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to message my best friend. I don't have an agenda. I don't even have a plan. I was like, do you just want to hang out Saturday? No agenda. No plan. I just want to hang out with my best friend, probably eat some carbohydrates, and just catch up. I want to just dwell in my living room. Not a rush, grab and go. Not a quick name it and claim it prayer. Not a quick eat and run, thanks, Dad. Time with God, but just hanging out. And that's not easy. That you have to fight for that time. Even in your drive time. You know what I got? So for you have the commute, or maybe you're on the road. People travel a lot for work. I had a friend that was a janitor, and she was working her way through school. And she would just stay in the Word, and that was her prayer time. So like whatever time we have, we can be with him. It's about tuning in. So this, we're talking about abiding or making your home in him under the shelter of the Almighty God, the protection of him. So verse 3, it says, surely he will what? Rescue you from the snare, every trap, and protect you from the perilous pestilence, whew, that was hard, and deadly disease, and he will cover you with his feathers and shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises, you are our armor and protection. When I dwell with God, when I hang out with God, it is the safest place in the world to be. My mouth starts starting to sound like Jesus the more I hang out with him. My actions aren't as rushed. Why? Because I'm more tuned in to what people around me, other things. I'm tuned into him, and he's way more tuned in than I am. I start flowing with him, and there's just a natural protection that goes with it. Then it says this, you will not be afraid of the terror by night. Does it not say there's terrible things out in the world? There's terror out there. There's terrorists. There's horrible people. There's violence. Like, come on. Even in York, there's places you really should not be at certain times. It's very dangerous. There is stuff going on around you. Nor of the arrow that flies by day or the pestilent that walks through the darkness. We do remember the coronavirus, okay? Nor of the destruction that lays waste at noon. And 1,000 will fall at your side or 10,000 dying around you. These evils will not touch you. When I am dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Because you have made, why? Why is this? Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, my hangout, my dwelling place, my camp out time with him. Even the Most High God, your dwelling place, no evil will conquer you. Doesn't mean it won't come against you. Doesn't mean it's not going to hit you, right? But it's not going to conquer you. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go, because he has set his love upon me. Setting your love upon someone, that's an action. That's a mindful thing. Because, you know, you can run out there, love ya. How many people know? Like, sometimes you ever said I love you to someone? You're like, oh, crap, I just told my boss on the phone, love you, bye. Oh, what was I thinking? Oh, my God. So embarrassing. It's just what? It's just this habit. You know, or like sometimes like in the junior high, they've been dating for a week. Love you. And I'm like, no. It's just a habit, right? But there's something when I put my love upon someone. It's a choice. God, I put my love upon you. And I want to say this. How many of you know we have other loves in our lives? It's called idols, distractions, things that we like, things that we go to for fulfillment or, distraction, joy outside of him. So I have to take my love for sci-fi and popcorn with my husband and go, okay, all right. But I set my love upon you first. You're my first love. And that means I need to spend time with you first. And then what? It starts putting you in this protective covering of what my ears are tuned into you. When I'm tuned into God, there's a sensitivity to his voice. And listen, not everything is a booming voice. In fact, most of the time it's not going to be. It's going to be an impression, an unction, a tug. You ever get invited to go somewhere and you just got a bad tug in your heart about it? Maybe some people at work are, you know, going camping, like, oh, you should join us. And just right on the inside, you just get a bad tug. No, but no, this will be good. This will be a good connection for business. Nope, bad tug in your heart. What is that? Holy Spirit. And the more I spend time with him, the more sensitive I am to his voice. And I'm like, oh, you know what? That sounds logical. It sounds reasonable. But I'm going to go with the tug of the Holy Spirit and stay under the protection, right? All right. Let me think here. See here. No evil will conquer you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling, and he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him, and I will protect those who trust in my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. You're going to go through trouble. What? You're going to go through fire, but you're not going to get burnt. You're going to go through water, but you won't drown. What? He will be with you. We're going to walk you through it. And he will deliver you and honor you. With a long life, he will satisfy him and show him my salvation. All right, so what are we talking about? The secret place is the prayerful place. It's not like per se a physical place. Like it's not like you have like a room in your house that you have a label that says secret place, but some people do that. So what is this secret place thing? The secret place Jesus equates to a prayer place. People call it the prayer closet. There's a room, a movie that came out, War Room. But so what is this? Okay, Matthew 6:6, New King James, Jesus taught, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. What is this secret place, this place of prayer? This is a special place and time that you specifically set aside. It doesn't have to be a physical spot. How many people know, a lot of people are in families that you have people everywhere. You don't really even have like a spot. You might have your chair, and when they're sitting in your chair, you need to move out of my chair, right? That's dad's chair. No, but whatever it's a place where you are pushing away distractions. You have just turned your phone on silent. I have shoved away all the idols, all the things that I kind of want to do, and I am in a secret place where it's just me and God. And you know, like I said, I know some families, I work with teenagers, they don't have their own place. So I was like, you know what, just put your earbuds in and close your eyes. I'm with you, Jesus. You start playing the word of God, start talking to him. This is the place we have to fight for. But when we fight for that place, man, we're tuned into him. Come on, you know when someone's talking and you're tuned out of what they're saying, you're tuned into something else? God's saying, stay tuned into me, sharpen your ears. And now this is when I kind of talk about hearing from God. And like I said, I'm probably going to scratch the surface of this and we'll go deeper. But there are these impressions that rise up in your heart, these tugs. These what I want to call like the left field. You ever had a left field thought where it just came out of nowhere and it was so much smarter than you? So much wiser than you. Like, I don't even know, why am I thinking about this person? I haven't seen him in 20 years. You know? Do you ever have that moment you're like thinking about someone you graduated with 20 years ago? Why am I thinking? There's these impressions, these thoughts. Sometimes I honestly thought I was ADD. Like, and I'm not. Never been diagnosed. I would just get these thoughts all the time. And you know, in my flesh, my mind would be racing, but within God, I learned to tune in, say, God, are you trying to talk to me right now? God, does this align with scripture? And this goes into a whole thing on the prophetic, which we'll dig into later. But all right, let me think of this. When you go to the beach, you ever go to the beach and as a kid, you just want to dig a big pit. You want to dig a well. You have no reason. There's just nothing else to do at the beach. So what do? You get a bunch of people, get all the other kids, and we're like, we're going to dig a pit to China. I don't know. We just like start digging. And what? You dig till you hit the water. And then what do? You wait. And what's it do? The water starts what? Rising. Starts rising. This is what I say, when you're digging in the spirit, there's a waiting of God. I'm going to dig into the word, dig into worship. I'm going to have a two-way conversation. If you ever see my lips moving, man, I'm like not reading half the time. Sometimes I'm singing the words and sometimes I'm singing my own words because I have to sometimes, and rituals are good. They work really hard to find songs that preach the gospel. It gets us in a good place, but then you ever, during worship, and God starts talking to you, and I'm like, oh man, I'm in this atmosphere of like Jesus, and now, God, what do you want to talk about? How do you want me to worship you? How do you want me to see you? And all of a sudden, what? There's this waiting, and what? This starts, things start bubbling up, rising up. God, it could be even a scripture that you haven't read in a long time. So Proverbs 20:5 says, counsel is in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding knows how to draw it out. The more you wait on God to dwell in him, to camp out with him, and what, we dug, and now I'm just going to rest here and not rush it, and let things start rising up. We start tuning our ears in and not stop rushing the process. So in Psalms 91, this word dwell comes from this word yashab. It means to remain or abide, to dwell in or inhabit. That is a chosen lifestyle. It's a choice. You don't feel like it. It's not convenient. But it's choosing to make God's presence our habitation. I have a habit of going there, not a visitation when I'm in need for desperate times. I think the problem with most of us Christians, including myself, is we sometimes are so sporadic in our prayer lives and just desperate times that it's so sporadic, it's not consistent enough to what build these walls of protection or what sharpen our ears to stay tuned in with him. All right, this other word, abide, comes from this word, lon. It means to spend the night, to camp out, to camp out. You know, sometimes, like I said, we just visit. You ever go to someone's house, knock, 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 visit, you know, you eat all their cookies on the table, have a cup of coffee, all right, bye-bye. It's different when you go camping with them, right? And God's saying, I want you to camp out with me. I want you to spend the night. There's something about getting to know somebody over the campfire, right? It's like 2 a.m. and you don't have an agenda, you have no distractions, there's no TV, no cell phone. Guess we're gonna really get to know each other, huh? Because we're camping out. And I'm learning, I am fighting. I have every excuse in the book, guys, we all do, to fight to not rush that time. And just listen, I just read the word and I go, God, what are you speaking? And what I found out, probably the greatest breakthrough in my life, I start praying scripture. I just start like reading that scripture and like, God, what does that apply? And you know what? A lot of it applies to other people around me, the world around me. And suddenly my prayers got so not self-centered and it got around other people and the world and it focused me. I have so much, the consistency. I'm looking at time here. That's okay. We're going to skip some things. I had some stories. We'll try to get to them. All right. I want to talk about there are specific times that God calls you to pray. A specific time. Anybody ever heard the word a kairos moment? A kairos time? When the Holy Spirit alerts us how to pray. So the Greek word for time, just general time, like, hey, time, is chronos. It means the general time in which anything is done. There's a different word. How many of you know when you know different languages, there are different words for things? There's another word that we're talking about today, which is kairos, or a strategic time, the right time, a specific time, a window of opportunity. It means an opportune point of time when something should be done. When I say should, I mean should. Like a window of opportunity you have. How many people know that with some people, there's just a certain window you're going to get? It's very interesting. After a loss, I found out people's hearts are so open to hear about Jesus. Well, oh no, they probably don't want to talk. They're grieving right now. I was like, well, they probably don't want to talk about what you think, but God wants you to go talk and pray with them. So why don't you just say, hi, can I sit beside you? Just start, because there's what? A window of opportunity. Start praying for them. And there's so much I want to say. Thank you, Lord. Keep me focused. There's a window of opportunity. When there's a well-timed attack in war, when someone is in danger, when someone's about to be attacked by Satan, there is a what? Kairos moment. There is a very specific time and an opportunity to pray that could be life-changing or even life and death. So open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. And this is the early church that records a kairos moment, a strategic time. Now, Satan had launched at this point in time, that's recorded in Acts, which is historic of the early church, orchestrated attacks of intense persecution from the enemy. And how many people know, Satan will come after you, and he's going to try to what? Shut you down, distract you, disappoint you, dishearten you, right? But God will use persecution for greater glory if you stick with him, right? All right. But this was, Satan was trying to shut something down in the church. He was trying to what? Steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. But when the church prayed, these strategies failed. So it's very interesting. We're picking up in Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. And Rhema, when I was at Rhema Bible School, I remember my professor saying this. He goes, you know, based on the context of this, It said that James, who was the other apostle, what, the brother of John, had just been arrested and martyred. He was killed. But something played out very differently when they just arrested another apostle, Peter. And he said this, he believed, and it really checked my spirit. He goes, he believed that there was a Kairos moment to pray for James, and the church just wasn't tuned in. You know, you get sad when or heartbroken or discouraged when someone's attacked, but how many people know it needs to turn to fervency and prayer? So when James died, they go, it kind of woke up the church. How many people know some things happened in history recently that woke up the church? And the church goes, hey, if we don't pray, this is not going to play out well. All right, so Acts chapter 12, 1 through 7, it said, about that time, King Herod Agrippa began to persecute, or another translation says, lay violent hands on some of the believers in church. And he had the apostle James, John's brother, killed with a sword. And when Herod saw how much this gained favor with the Jews, he's kind of doing a political move. Persecution was very popular at that time. Kind of popular these days, too, to persecute Christians, isn't it? So he went ahead and arrested Peter with intentions to kill him. I think the Message translation said he planned on a big public lynching. He was just going to go just make it a big public thing and just murder this guy just for the cheers. Now it says, but. How many people know but's a good thing sometimes? We see what Satan wants to do because Satan did it last. He just did. There was a loss. There was a loss. James was imprisoned and killed. And the church goes, well, I think it's time we pray. And pray passionately, not just wallowing, but in faith for his rescue. The effective, fervent, passionate prayers of a person that knows a relationship with God, tremendous power is available. A different kind of prayer started happening here. It says, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed very earnestly for him. And the night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep and fastened with two chains between two shoulders. Others stood guard at the prison gate, and suddenly, God is a God of suddenlies in your darkest of hour, at the midnight hour. And suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and the angel of the Lord stood before Peter. And the angel struck him on the side, shook him awake. He's probably snoring. Hey, Peter, wake up! It's an angel. Quick, get up. And the chains fell off him, and he snuck him through the prison, and no one could see him. It was a miracle because the church prayed, not wallowing prayer, faith prayer. They stood in the gap. They went into intercession. There are strategic kairos moments that God is calling you to pray. But if we're not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, we will often miss those cues. Because when I'm busy and I'm exhausted and I'm doing too much and I'm under a lot of stress, doesn't mean you're not hearing God. We're just not what tuned in. I'll do it later, and we forget. And sometimes we miss the window. All right, so the Bible also shows some other strategic kairos moments in places of temptation. Luke 4:13, it said, after Jesus had successfully resisted all the devil's temptations in the wilderness, the devil left him for a quote, until an opportune time. How many people know that Satan is watching for opportunity? And when you're really built up and strengthened on the word of God, he's like, well, that's kind of like a losing battle. You got your armor on. But when we're tired and exhausted and grumpy and someone has hurt us and we're dwelling on that offense, whoa, the armor's off. And that is what Satan roams around like a roaring lion and is looking for someone that is isolated, pulled away, and just in their own hurt. That's an easy target. In those moments, if you know that you're in that moment or ready for this, you see someone that's in that moment, stop judging them. Well, you ought to do this. You ought to do this. Start praying for them. The Holy Spirit is going to prompt us to pray for people during strategic times when they are being attacked with temptation. Just like Jesus interceded for Peter. Peter messed up. When people messed up, they don't need you to rub their nose in it. Well, this happened because you da-da-da-da-da. No, they just need you to pray for them, okay? So Luke 22, 31 through 32, this is talking about Peter, and he's going by his old name, Simon. So Jesus is talking to Simon Peter. He goes, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he will sift you like wheat, shake your whole world. You ever had a whole year where you were just shaken to the core? You just falling apart. He says, but, so this is a good but. And Jesus says, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. That you don't let go of faith. Remember when I talk about, hold on, white knuckled faith? That you don't let go of your faith. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Man, when you repent, hold on to your faith, repent, and go use your story to help someone else. This is Jesus' prayer for Peter. So I'm going to have a funny story, and I'm just starting to weave in some stories here. I had a youth pastor, oh man, he like ruined so much stuff in prayer. You ever like were determined to have so much fun on a date or something, and it didn't play out, and you found out why? So my youth pastor, I remember this, I was really excited about my homecoming date, had a big old crush on him, whatever, and I was like hoping he'd kiss me, man. I was like hoping, probably was praying about it. And I remember, this is funny, because we're just going to lighten it up, and I'm going to do some heavy stories then too. But I remember, and it like nothing happened. There were like so many opportunities. We're like on the dance floor, we're like hanging out after, I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me. It's like the eye gaze, like would you just lean in? Like do I need to do 60 and then you do 40? Do you want me to do 90? Like, come on, everybody, laugh at me a little bit. Nothing happened. I was so mad. I was so frustrated. These hormones, okay? And then I found out the next week that my youth pastor had a flash vision of us on the dance floor. I don't know what he saw, but he dropped to his knees and started praying. And he just prayed that we wouldn't fall into temptation, Lord. Oh, God, I mean, he just started praying. I was so mad. Just blocked the whole thing, man. And looking back later, I am so glad he prayed because that would have been terrible. Oh my God, that would have been a bad match or whatever. So anyway, okay, I just have to laugh. But come on, you parents, you praying parents, you better pray on those dates and homecoming. And you saw that dress, I better be praying. Oh my gosh. All right, here we go. All right. So listen, we got to stay tuned in so we don't miss something. Because how many know you think it's just your imagination? What is a foreign thought, it was just kind of weird. Why am I thinking about that right now? It's weird. Pray. You ever get a weird thought? Pray. I mean, if you just pray, only good can come from it, right? I had a college friend. I remember they were sharing this in our RA meeting, our resident advisor meeting. And what happened was this, is they were sleeping, and in the middle of the night, they woke up with this urgency in their heart to pray. Didn't make sense. It was what? Weird. Didn't make sense. So they started praying. Didn't know what to pray. Started praying in the spirit. Started praying in tongues. They just started praying. I don't know what to pray. And then this impression in their heart, they were praying for somebody elderly. That's all they got. I'm going to pray for protection. And I know they're elderly. That's all they knew. And they prayed everything they knew in English. Then they prayed in the spirit, prayed in tongues until there was a peace and a release in their heart. The next day, you know, come on, it's like college, you have 750s, you run around. But the next day, they talk to their roommate. They go, you know, it's weird. I woke up in the middle of the night and I was just praying. And he goes, they go, are you serious? They go, I found out later today that my grandfather was rushed to the hospital with a heart attack last night. And they're totally stable and they don't have any side effects. You didn't even know you were praying for my grandfather. Thank you. Don't be deterred by our limited understanding. Just pray. Pray with everything in you. And if you don't know what to pray, get out the scripture, get out the Bible, and just start praying until something like, oh, that, you know, it just highlights in your heart. You ever been reading, and then boom, oh, that's it. And you just declare that over the person or their situation. And I'm telling you, if I can get to the end, like, oh, 5 minutes, all right, I'll teach on tongues later. Okay, here we go. So much to teach right now. All right, don't lean on your own understanding. All right. When we blow off those promptings to pray, they can have very far-reaching effects. How do people know that when you're really tuned in? Now, God lives outside of time. Isn't that cool? He lives outside of time and space. And when you're tuned into him, he can tune you into something in the future and stop certain things from happening. Now, I'm reading so much to talk about. World War II intercessors, really cool. Reese Howes, just go Google it. But, okay, I'm trying to teach some experiences so we can understand the everyday. There was, and I'm going to be very vague, there was a boy that I kept seeing in the neighborhood. And whenever I saw him, something didn't feel right in my heart. I got this, like, I don't know how to describe it, like this intense heart crush. Like almost made me feel sick. And like, that's weird. What do I do with that, God? So I started praying. And I think it's just good to start, what? Praying for protection. I started praying for protection. Every time I thought of him, I saw him. Every time that feeling came, it made me sick. Months. I talked to my mom about it and another friend at the church. I said, I just pray with me. And this impression came in my heart, someone had twisted intentions for him. In the future, because I talked to their parent, I talked to them, and I didn't get any flags, something was happening now. But it was like, God, tune me into something that could. And man, I went to war over that. Months. God, I thank you no weapon formed against that young man will prosper. Lord, I thank you you blind the eyes to any enemy attack that has ill harm for them. If there's any perversity, if anybody looks at them a certain way, God, I thank you shield them like it, with Lot and his family. You just blind their eyes. They just walk on through. Lord, God, if there's someone with ill intentions, Lord, I pray for justice. They get caught and locked up. And I would just, and then there's this authority that came. And then it lifted. And I see this boy, everything's good. And I checked him with the Lord one time. I was like, God, everything good? He's like, it's done, it's clear. You're like, that sounds a little weird, sounds a little crazy, but I know when I hear the voice of God, that's not something you fake, that's not something I think about. It was out here. Never override an unction to pray. You may not know what it is. God knows. Pray for anything and everything. If you don't know what to pray for, just get in the scripture. Man, there's powerful prayers in Isaiah. And there are just certain things that just jump off the page. That's for them. That's for them. I had someone in this church. There was a particular chapter in Isaiah I kept opening up to. It was weird. It was just like almost like falling out of the page. And I kept, and man, I would pray. And there's like an authority that rose up in me. I was like, that chapter is for them. 5 months. And then I saw a change in the consistency through prayer. Ephesians 6, 12 through 14. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. We are not fighting against people majority of the time. There is a spirit world that influences, that's pulling strings, right? Not every time, but oftentimes. And there are some spiritual strategies that we cannot see, but God knows. And he will open up your eyes to things. Anybody get God dreams? I get awesome God dreams. Normally when I'm real busy, it's, to be honest with you, I'll get a dream because God's like, you need to slow down. If I have to talk to you in your dream, you need to slow down. That's okay. I had a dream this week. It was this week, and there's a gift called the discerning of spirits. I remember my father praying over me all the time. It's when God just lifts the veil and you can see into the spirit world. Never seen an angel? Man, I've seen those demon critters. But God's never going to expose something he hasn't given you the authority to what expel in the name of Jesus. So I had a dream, and it was just a strategic time in my family. And all of a sudden, it was just, like I said, it was all good, all joy and peace. And all of a sudden, it was like a dimmer switch. You ever just a dimmer switch where the lights just got dim? There was just a presence that entered. And all of a sudden, I looked over to my left, and there was this person I'd never met before, and just something was off about him. Just felt off, little creeped out. And all of a sudden, their body started contorting a little animalistically, and I was like, oh, that is not natural, that is not human. So in my dream, I started praying, in the name of Jesus, you will cease and desist. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for protection. And they couldn't harm me. It was just trying to follow me. It was ruining something in a strategic moment in my life. And I prayed in my dream, and all of a sudden I woke myself up, forcing my lips to pray, in the name of Jesus, get out. My eyes popped open, and I saw that spirit inches from my face. As much as I could see right now, and I went, in the name of Jesus, get out of my house, and that thing scampered off. God alerted me, and so I started praying for protection in my family. And I went to prayer the next day. I said, God, okay, give me some more detail. What is this? And he kind of just showed me where Satan was trying to steal something. And I prayed, and I talked to Brad about it, so we're going to pray about this. It's totally clear. Sometimes the Lord is going to, what, expose something so you can, what, expel something in the name of Jesus. Protection. All right, you guys got time for maybe one or two quick stories. All right. Ephesians 6, 18. The context is spiritual warfare. It says, be on alert for all saints. And it says, pray at all times. That word times is kairos. Now, it would be great if we could pray every single second of the day, but let's be honest. Like, it's probably not going to happen, right? But God's saying, pray at various, there are strategic times I'm going to alert you either in your life or someone else that you need to pray. There is a window of opportunity. There is a strategic attack against them or against you, and you need to pray at these times. And not one of these flippant words, traveling mercies, oh Lord, pray. Kairos times, when Satan is trying to attack someone. So, there's so much I want to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let me give you some examples. How about that? Man, there's so much I want to talk about. But Lord, okay, Romans 8, I'll have to end on this and we'll develop it later. Romans 8, 26 through 27, Amplified, says, in the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weaknesses. Weaknesses, I don't know how to pray. I don't know all the details. That's a weird thought. I don't know what to do with it. When we don't know what to pray, to offer or how to offer it up as we should, but the Spirit himself knows our needs and at the right time, Kairos time, intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. Now, there's different, people sometimes say this is tongues, some people say this is a groaning. I want to just say this, it's praying in the Spirit with everything you got. If you pray in tongues, pray in tongues. If you don't pray in tongues yet and you want to, I'll pray for you, but pray with your whole heart. And in those weak moments, God will GPS guide you into what to pray for. And I'll say this, if you don't know, just open up the scripture and just start praying scripture out over their life. And there are certain attacks that will be thwarted, whether it be in your life or someone else, like that roommate. You don't even know who you're praying for. You might never know who you're praying for, but always pray. I remember a couple years ago, I was driving across town, don't you love Route 30 in a rainstorm? And I just felt to pray, and I felt safe. But I just felt to pray. And I was praying through traffic instead of saying words, right? And I was just praying, and I kind of thought of my brother. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to pray. About 10 minutes. Felt a peace, and I was good. And I called my brother later that night because I was going to hang out with some friends out in Lancaster. And Jesse's like, yeah, I just got in an accident. This is hours later. And, like, the car wasn't good. He didn't have a scratch on him. Just pray. You guys are fine. Don't worry about it. all right. I'm going to give you one last story. Ladies, don't worry about it. You're good. Don't worry about it. I was sleeping in the middle of the night, and I had this other dream. And it was a family member was in it, and it was just a very vivid dream. And just something felt wrong. Someone in that dream did not have good intentions for my family member. I remember that impression, and I can still see the face. It was just kind of an odd dream to have. It wasn't a family member I hung out with. They lived like states away, like halfway across the United States. And then all of a sudden, boom, I thought I heard the door slam, the front door. You ever have a four? And I just woke out of the stream. Well, the door didn't slam. I just like woke up. And I was like, that's weird. What are you going to do? I'm going to pray. So I prayed everything I knew in the natural. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray for their protection. I don't know. Like that pray against whatever that person wanted to do. Just going to pray that stopped. In the name of Jesus, Lord, if any attacks against my family member will be totally thwarted and shut down. If there's any unholy alliances, if there's anything that they're attached to or someone they're attached with that's going to lead them down a dangerous path, we just break that in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just release the protection of God over them. I think your angels surround them and protect them. Lord, I release wisdom and courage for them to get out of that situation. And I just prayed everything I knew. Then I prayed in tongues till I had just peace. So the next day, you know, I called them. I got a hold of them later in the evening. And they're like, yeah, I was at a South by Southwest concert, music festival, which you know, 3 in the morning, probably not the best things going on at South by Southwest. And I described the person I saw. And they go, I know exactly who that is. I said, okay. I said, I just said, you should get away from them. They don't got good intentions for you. And she said, yeah, and she kind of described some things. She goes, they were trying to lead them down a path that honestly they shouldn't have gone down. And it was just kind of a confirmation to just cut ties. Did you have to pray? Just pray. All right, let's stand up. We're going to just pray. Can you guys give me 2 minutes to just pray? All right, we're just going to, now I want you to do this. This is a practice to just close your eyes and push away every distraction. Who cares about your crock pot of beans? Brad hates beans anyway. Don't worry about it. I love beans. I'll eat your beans. It's fine. Don't worry about where you have to be. Give it 2 minutes. And let's dwell right now in the secret place. We're going to just camp out for 2 minutes. Are we camping out? No, but that's we're going to give it all you got before you get irritated with me. So, and just say this, Holy Spirit, who do you want me to pray for? What do you want me to pray for? And I'm just going to just do some general prayers. And you just pray whichever way you want to go. Father God, in Jesus' name, I just lift up that person to you. Father God, I thank you love them. And I thank you, we're going to cause a meeting with you, Jesus. I thank you, your angels surround them and protect them. Lord, we just put a hedge of protection, a wall of protection around them. Lord, we just break off any strategic attack of the enemy against them, against their life. If someone's trying to take their life, we rebuke those thoughts in Jesus' name. If they're dealing with suicidal thoughts, we command that to stop. Satan, we rebuke you. You cease and desist all operations that are going to try to hinder the call of God on their life in Jesus' name. We release the peace of God over their heart and mind. Lord God, I thank you. You are showing how valuable and precious they are to you and to us. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are sending laborers. You are sending people to them where I can't be or maybe I can't get to them, Lord God, that are going to speak your word with power and love, even come with a prophetic word, a sign and a wonder that you see them, you know them, that you have a purpose and a plan for them, Lord. I thank you you're sending godly Christian friends to them, Lord God. I thank you you're putting them in a safe place, that you're putting them in a safe living environment. And Lord, I just break every unholy alliance on their life, Lord God. I just, in Jesus' name, break off any soul tie to someone else that doesn't have good intentions for them, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you. You are rescuing them and you are sending rescuers to get them out of that situation into a God situation because you got their number. And Lord God, you gave me their number. So Lord, I thank you. You're going to show me when to call them, ask them over for dinner, talk to them at work. Give them a ride to church. Lord God, what else would you like me to do? And I will continue to pray for them until that peace and that rest comes in my heart. And Lord God, we thank you the moment we pray. You are always moving, Lord God. I thank you the moment we pray in faith. Lord, your angels are released. Lord God, you are reworking all things together for good. And we praise you and thank you for all you're doing to seek, save, and rescue them. Use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I love you guys. Have a great afternoon.